Okay, well, everybody probably knows what I'm going to say, because I say it pretty much every week. And it goes like this. Turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It's easy to find. It is the beginning of a brand new book, the final book in the five books of Moshe, a.k.a. The Torah with a capital T. And, of course, it is Deuteronomy chapter 1 in the English. In the Hebrew, it is Ha-Debarim, or just plain Debarim, and the reason is because it starts out with this. These are Ha-Debarim, the words. Sometimes you could translate it as the things, because Debarim, though, normally means words, which Moshe spoke unto Kol Israel, beyond the Jordan, in the wilderness, in the Arabah, over against Suf, between Paran and Tophel, and Laban, and Hazarot, and Dizahab. And interestingly, there is some argument about whether these are real places or not, or whether they're symbolic of something. But there is a lot of Rashi discussion and Midrash that says essentially what he's doing is he's couching some of the lesson in that. I'm going to suggest there's plenty of other things in here that are important that we can talk about, because the next verse is one that I think really nails it. And then I'll pause for a second after that. It says, it's 11 days' journey from Horeb unto Kadesh Barnea by way of Har Seir. 11 days' journey. And yet, how long did it take them? Yeah, 40 years. So there's a message there, and it should be pretty clear. And that's how Moshe chooses to begin this. Now, let me make a couple of other comments, because this is a really wonderful book. It is oftentimes considered kind of the heart of the Torah, and in large measure because within this one book is a complete summary of almost all of the instruction. And I say almost all because certainly there are a lot of things. The whole story is instruction as well. And that's not contained within here, although Moses does do a good job right off the top of giving kind of a capsule synopsis. But the other things to know about this are that this is given during the last month of Moshe's life. Literally, it says, if you want to say it, his swan song, his farewell address. And the word Deuteronomy in English kind of has an implication as well. It's kind of like the second telling or the second recap. In other words, it's a rehash. We're even going to see the Ten Commandments, for example, that are repeated in here, of so many elements of the Torah. Now, you notice I'm deliberately avoiding the use of the word the law, because, as you know, I don't like that translation. It's not that it's wrong. It's just woefully incomplete. And a lot of people say, well, you talk about the law, and that summarizes it. And the answer is no, it doesn't. There's a whole lot of stuff that goes well beyond the law when it comes to the instruction. And instruction is a much bigger term, and it tends to kind of, I would say, sell short what it is that Moshe is doing here. And part of it is right off the top, because he's given them a recap of the history. And there's a lesson in that, too. So it's all part of the instruction. All right, one other comment that I always make, everybody's probably heard me say this if you've listened for more than 1 year, and that is, Devarim, or Deuteronomy, is the most quoted book, bar none, in the founding era. Okay, so the entire founding era, all of the founders, things like the letters that were written back and forth, as well as the committees of correspondence, that was also a big part of setting up things for the Declaration, later the Constitution. But in the entire founding era, this is the book that got the most citations, and that includes literally any other book. And there's some other very good ones. Thomas Paine's Common Sense, Frederick Bastiat's The Law, and certainly Blackstone's commentaries on the common law. But even then, if you look at Blackstone's commentaries, it's easy to recognize most of the common law is based right smack on Deuteronomy. All the elements of contract and bailment and loaning and money, you name it. It's all right here in this book. Okay, so let's continue, pick up the narrative. It came to pass, it says, in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of that month, that Moshe spoke, so here's his speech, to the children of Israel, all of them, according to all that Yahuwah had given him in commandment unto them. So he's already talked about this the first time. Again, he's now summarizing it and laying it out in a very nice and well-organized fashion. This was, it says, after he had smitten Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, remember the big dude, king of Bashan, who dwelt in Ashtaroth at Edrei, beyond the Jordan, the land of Moab, took Moses upon him to expound this Torah, this instruction, saying, Yahuwah R.L. spoke unto us in Horeb, and he said, you dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn and take your journey and head towards the hill country of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the Arabah, in the hill country, in the lowlands, and in the south by the seashore, in the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, he says, I have given. It's interesting. He puts it in the past tense. And set the land before you. Go in, therefore, and possess the land which Yahuwah swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed, that would be y'all, after them. Again, past tense is interesting. It's a done deal. You just got to claim what's rightfully yours, and I've already told you about it. And I spoke to you, says Moshe, that time, saying, I'm just not able to bear you myself alone. Yahuwah Yireel has multiplied you, and behold, here you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. Yahuwah, the Elohim of your fathers, this is a prophecy and a blessing, make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he has promised you. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? Get you from each one of your tribes wise men and understanding, men full of knowledge, and I will make them heads over you. And he says, you answered me, and y'all said, the thing which you have spoken is good for us to do. Now remember, at the time when this was originally being done, a lot of these folks may remember it, but many of them weren't born yet. They were probably born en route, and all of those over the age of 20, of course, save the two, along with Moshe at this point, have already died. So he's reminding them of things that some of them may vaguely remember, others don't know, but they've probably heard, and here comes the summary again. So I took the heads of your tribes, wise men, full of knowledge, made them heads over you, captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, and captains of fifties, and captains of tens, and officers, tribe by tribe. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously, in other words, accord with Torah, this instruction, between a man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. You shall not respect persons in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not be afraid of the face of any man. In other words, justice is blind, if you want to put it that way, and ironically, it's not nearly as blind today as it is supposed to be, and as the Creator laid it out for us. Judgment, though, he says, is Elohim's. Because it's too hard for you, you bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things, he said, that you should do. And we journeyed from Horeb, and we went through all that great and dreadful wilderness which you saw, by the way to the hill country of the Amorites, as Yahuwah Ariel commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, you've come into the hill country of the Amorites, which Yahuwah Ariel has given us. And behold, Yahuwah your El has set the land before you. Go on up, take possession, as Yahuwah, the Elohim of your fathers, has spoken unto you. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, now remember, this is kind of the royal affirmation. A lot of them weren't there, or they were too young, but still, he is essentially addressing them as he is, if you think about it, addressing us. And you said, let us send men before us, that they might search out the land, spy it out, tour it for us, and bring us back word of the way by which we must go up, and the cities unto which we shall come. And the thing pleased me well. So I took 12 of you, one man from every tribe, and they turned and they went up to the mountains, and they came to the valley of Eshcol, and spied it out. They took of the fruit of that land in their hands, and they brought it down to us, and they brought us back word and said, good is the land which Yahuwah Ariel is given unto us. Yet, he says, you wouldn't go up. But you rebelled against the commandment of Yahuwah Yireel, and you murmured in your tents. You know, I like the term whined. I think is probably a more modern way to put it, because this wasn't just murmuring. This is outright whining. And you said, because Yahuwah hated us. Yeah, there's a little bit of an exaggeration there. He's brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us under the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither are we going to go up? Our brethren have made our heart to melt, saying, this people is greater and taller than we are. The cities are great. They're fortified up to heaven. And moreover, we've seen the sons of the Anakim there. These are the big dudes, right? Scary. Then I said to you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. Yahuwah Yireel, who goes before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt, before your eyes. and Bamidbar in the wilderness, where you've seen just how Yahuwah your El bore you like a man bears his son in all the way that you went till you came unto this place. Yet, in this thing, he says, you do not believe Yahuwah your El, who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, and in the cloud by day. And Yahuwah heard the voice of your words, your Deborim, and he was wroth, and he swore, saying, surely not one of those men, even this evil generation, shall see the good land which I swore to give unto your fathers, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He'll see it. To him will I give the land that he has trodden upon, and to his children, because he has wholly followed Yahuwah. And he says, this is again Moshe, remember, he was angry with me for your sake, saying, you also shall not go in there. Joshua, son of Nun, who stands before you, he was, remember, the one who's been selected to take over. The next book after this in the time sequence will be the story of Joshua leading people into the land. Anyway, he shall go in there, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, the ones you said should be a prey, and your children, that this day have no knowledge of good nor evil, they shall go in there, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. Now, it's interesting, of course, remember, those are the people to whom he is talking, physically at least. Now, as for you, turn, you, take your journey into the wilderness by way of the Sea of Reeds, or the Red Sea in some renderings. Then you answered, and you said unto me, oh, we have sinned against Yahuwah. Well, now that it's too late, we'll go up and fight, according to all that Yahuwah our El has commanded us. And you girded on every man his weapons of war. You deemed it a light thing to go up into the hill country. You were too casual about it. Yahuwah said unto me, tell them, warn them, do not go up nor fight, because I am not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. They got fair warning. So I spoke unto you, and you didn't listen. You hearkened not, but you rebelled against the commandment of Yahuwah. You were presumptuous. You went up into the hill country, and the Amorites that dwelled there in the hill country, they came out against you and chased you like bees do, and they beat you down in Seir, even unto Hormath. And then you returned, and you wept, and you cried before Yahuwah, but Yahuwah didn't hearken to your voice, nor did he give ear unto you. Why? Because he'd already warned you. So you abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that you abode there. And then there's a chapter break here, of course. The narrative, though, just continues apace. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Sea of Reeds, as Yahuwah spoke unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And Yahuwah spoke to me, and he said, you've compassed this mountain long enough. Turn northward, and command thou the people, and say to them, you are to pass through the border of your brethren, the children of Esau, the Edomites, if you will, that dwell in Seir. They'll be afraid of you. So, therefore, take good heed of yourselves. Don't fight with them. Don't contend with them, because I will not give you their land. Not any of it. Nope. Not so much as for the sole of the foot to tread on, because I've given Mount Seir unto Esau and his descendants for a possession. You can purchase, you shall purchase food from them for silver that you might eat. And you shall also buy water from them for silver. Remember, the King James often says money, but it's silver that they're giving them. Money, as we know it, did not exist and would be an abomination anyway. So buy water with silver so you can drink. For Yahuwah your El has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has known you're walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years, Yahuwah your El has been with you, and you didn't lack anything. So we pass by from our brethren, the children of Esau, that dwell in Seir, from the way of the Araba, from Elat, and from Etzion Geber. And we turn, and we pass by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And Yahuwah said unto me, don't be at enmity with Moab either, nor contend with them in battle, for I will not give you of his land for a possession, because I've given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession, the Moabites. And the Emim dwelt therein aforetime, a people great and many, and tall as the Anakim. So what we're getting here are a listing of other people groups, and there are a bunch of tribes that are named in Israel. Some of them are, and I'm going to just contend, even though it's a little bit of a studious leap here, but I have come to the conclusion over the years that these giant people have a tainted DNA. In other words, their bloodline has been contaminated. That's why they're giants or tall, is because, in fact, there's non-human DNA that's in there that dates all the way back to the Rephaim and then the Nephilim and the so-called fallen angels. So we got some names here. The Amim dwelt there before that, and they're tall, kind of like the Anakim. They are also accounted, it says, so here it is, as Rephaim, as the Anakim, but the Moabites got a different name. They called them Amim. And in Seir dwelt the Horites aforetime, but the children of Esau succeeded them, and they destroyed them from before them. So here was another people group that was literally wiped out, and the people of Esau did exactly what it is that the Israelites are fixing to do. And they dwelt in the land of his possession, which Yahuwah gave unto them. So now, you all, rise up, get yourself over the brook Zered. And we did, we went over the brook Zered. And in the days which we came from Kadesh Barnea, until we were come over that brook Zered, were 38 years, until all that generation, even the men of war, were consumed from the midst of the camp, as promised. Remember, their carcasses fell in the wilderness, as Yahuwah swore unto them. Moreover, the hand of Yahuwah was against them to discomfit them from the midst of the camp until they were consumed. So it came to pass, when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that Yahuwah spoke to me again, and he said, "You are this day to pass over the border of Moab, even Ar. And when you come nigh over against the children of Ammon, don't harass them nor contend with them, because I'm not going to give you of their land, the land of the children of Ammon, for a possession, because I've given it unto the children of Lot for a possession." Again, so associated with Moab. That also is accounted a land of Rephaim. Rephaim dwelt therein aforetime. The Ammonites called them the Zamzumim. So that's plural for Zamzum. These are another people that were great and numerous and tall, like the Anakim were. But Yahuwah destroyed them from before them, and then they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. Again, same story. These half-breeds, these people that are descendants from tainted DNA, we want them out of here. And these people groups that have been promised that land, going to take it over. As he did, as Yahuwah did for the children of Esau that dwell in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites from before them, and they succeeded them, and then dwelt in their stead, even unto this day. And the Avim that dwelt in villages as far as Gaza, so way up north, the Kaphtorim that came forth out of Kaphtor destroyed them and dwelt in their stead. So rise up, he says, take your journey and pass over the valley of Ammon. Behold, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin the process of possessing it, and contend with him in battle. So we're going to get a recounting of these two great kings that have already at this point been dispensed with. This day, he says, will I begin to put the dread of you and the fear of you among the peoples, or upon the peoples, that are under the whole of Hashemayim, who, when they hear the report of you, will tremble and be in anguish because of you. And we see in the story of the conquest of Jericho that is precisely true. I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemoth unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, "Let me pass through your land. I'll go by the highway. I won't turn not to the right hand or to the left. You can sell me food for silver that I might eat, and you can give me water for silver that I might drink. Just let me pass through on my feet, as the children of Esau that dwelt in Seir and the Moabites that dwelt in Ar did unto me, till I pass over the river Jordan unto the land which Jehoahaz has already given us." But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him, for Jehoahaz hardened his spirit, haksah, and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him unto your hand, as appears this day. We've kind of heard a story like this before, haven't we? And Yahuwah said to me then, "Behold, I have begun to deliver up Sihon and his land before you. Begin to possess his land." So Sihon came out against us, he and all of his people, into battle at Yahaz. And Jehoahaz delivered him up before us. And we smote him and his sons and all of his people. Now listen how complete this was. This is the way that it was supposed to have been, but wasn't when they continued. "We took all his cities at that time and utterly destroyed every city, the men and the women and the little ones. We left none remaining." Now, this is where people, of course, will say, "Oh, what a horrible God this is that would dare to take him." And this is genocide. He wiped out this entire people group. Let me say it again. I think when we put it in perspective, and of course the DNA concept is something that postdated Scripture by a long, long time, and there's other ways of looking at it, and we see this, by the way, with Noah. He was pure in his bloodline, in his generations. Others weren't. They were wiped out then, but it turns out, says they came back. So what he's going to tell us? I'm wiping out every single one of them, men, women, children. Yep, we left none remaining. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves, with the spoil of the cities which we had taken. So they kept some of the stuff that was in there, the clothing and the gold and the silver and so forth. From Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of Arnon, and from the city that's in that valley, even unto Gilead, there was not a city that was too high for us, and Jehoahaz delivered up all of them before us. Only to the land of the children of Ammon you did not come near. All the side of the river Yabbok, and the cities of the hill country, for wheresoever the Jehoahaz forbade us. So in other words, we took all the places that were okay. Some places he said not to, and we didn't. Then we turned, and we went up the way to Bashan. And this fellow Og, right, the king of Bashan came out against us, he and all of his people, unto battle at Edrei. And Yahuwah said to me, fear him not, because I've already delivered him and all of his people and his land into your hand. And you shall do unto him just exactly what you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon. So Jehoahaz delivered into our hand Og also, king of Bashan, and all of his people, and we smote him until none was left to him remaining. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we didn't take from them. 60 cities, 60 cities in all. All the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og in Bashan. All of these, he says, were fortified cities, high walls, gates, and bars, beside the unwalled towns, and there were a whole lot of those. And we utterly destroyed them, as we did unto Sihon, king of Heshbon. We utterly destroyed every city, the men, the women, and the little ones. All the cattle again, and the spoil of the cities we took for a prey unto ourselves. So they got a lot of cattle at this point, lots of other material goods, again, clothing and things like pots and pans and cookware and certainly probably some armament and lots of gold and silver and jewels and you name it. We took the land at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, from the valley of Arnon unto Mount Hermon, which Hermon the Sidonians call Sirion, and the Amorites call it Seir. All the cities of the plain, and all of Gilead, and all Bashan, unto Salcah and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan. For only, it says, Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the Rephaim. So this guy was, as Musa of the Midrash suggests, was quite old. And he'd been around for a long, long time. And he was a huge fellow. We're going to hear more about that in just a second. It sounds like a lot of the other giants were big, but probably just not quite as big as Og, because he was the first generation of the Rephaim. Behold, his bedstead, remember, was made out of iron. Is it not in Rabbah of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof. So between 13 and 14 feet long was this bed, 4 cubits, 6 feet the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man. This land we took in possession at that time, from Aroer, which is by the valley of Arnon, unto the half the hill country of Gilead and the cities thereof, that I gave to the Reubenites and the Gadites. Remember the deal we talked about here recently. And the rest of Gilead and all of Bashan, the kingdom of Og, gave I to the half tribe of Manasseh, all the region of Argob, all that Bashan is called the land of Rephaim. Yair, the son of Manasseh, took all the region of Argob, under the border of the Geshurites and the Maacathites, and he called them, even Bashan, after his own name. In other words, he named it after himself, Havot Yair, unto this day. And I gave Gilead unto Machir. And unto the Reubenites and unto the Gadites I gave from Gilead, even to the valley of Arnon, from the middle of the valley for a border, even unto the river Yabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. The Arabah also, the Jordan being the border there, from Chinneret, even unto the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, and unto the slopes of Pisgah to the east. As I commanded you at that time, he says, saying, Yehuahaz has given you this land to possess it. You shall pass over armed before your brethren, the Bnei Israel, all the men of valor. So they're going to go out literally at the head of the spear, because that was the deal. They're going to honor their promise, and fight until everybody and the rest of the children of Israel have their land within the land on the other side of the Jordan. But, he reminds us, your wives, your little ones, your cattle, I know you have a lot of cattle, they shall abide in your cities which I have given you, until Yahuwah gives rest unto your brethren, all the other tribes, as unto you, and they also possess the land which Yahuwah gives them beyond the Jordan. Then shall you return every man unto his possession, which I have given you. And as I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen all that Yahuwah has done to those two kings, so shall Yahuwah do unto all the kingdoms that you're going over to possess. So they've got an example, if you will, an existence theorem that says, here's what he's going to do. Just trust. And this is exactly how it'll go. And then we have this, the final verse and the final couple of, I guess you could call them commandments in this first Torah portion in the book of the same name, the Parsha called, as well as the book called Devarim. You shall not fear them. You shall not fear them, for Yahuwah, he is the one, he fights for you. And again, with that, the Torah portion ends. So quite a great way to start things off as a reminder, and we're going to see a lot more of the reminder throughout the rest of the book.